showtime.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut. And joining us now, Coach Bielma.
Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. And, I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy.
Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good?
All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay.
Oh, there's a timeout on the court!
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us in money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not. Is it Instagram?
Yeah.
Is that what IG means?
I think you have to win the Big Ten title to win Big Ten Player of the Year.
Woohoo!
Wow, what a bad take.
It is The Drive. Good morning, everybody. ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise here as well. It is a Thursday. No, I wish it was Thursday. It's Tuesday, and it's still hot out, and we really don't have much to talk about. So we're going to talk some baseball today because we're going to check in on how the Cubbies and the Cardinals fared in the first half of the season, get some reaction from Ryan Lieber on the Cubbies and also Kevin Wheeler on the Cardinals, and we will try to kind of get an idea of what the first half looked like and what the second half will look like. Will they make any moves? Obviously, the Cardinals are still in position to win a division and or make the playoffs, whereas the Cubs, they're not. So we'll see what they're doing. I know the rebuild will continue, obviously, in Chicago, but we will check in with Ryan and Kevin Wheeler as we roll along. Ryan Lieber at 4:30, Kevin Wheeler at 5:05. We always have a hard time tracking down White Sox crew. So no White Sox, but I and Jeremy's on vacation, and I don't want to bother him on vacation to talk about the White Sox. I know they started winning games at the end, so maybe they've started to figure things out, and they'll be rolling from there. But
they're currently only three games out.
I was going to say.
In the AL Central.
How many, what was there, like, do you have the standings up with, like, the last 10?
They are 7-3 in their last 10.
So they did start kind of catching some fire there. For the White Sox, because I feel like, wouldn't you assume that would be a major disappointment if they don't win that division? I mean, am I wrong here? Or I know Minnesota has played better, et cetera, but wouldn't that be kind of a little bit of an upset if the White Sox don't win the AL Central?
Yeah, it definitely would be. You have to take into account the injuries that they've had to withstand yet again, and that was a big part of last year as well, although, of course, they were able to overcome that and get to the postseason, fell short against the Astros in that series. But this is a 500 baseball team. I know there's been a lot of talk about Tony La Russa and just a team that in general has not lived up to expectations. Yoan Moncada is one of those within the lineup that isn't producing like they would hope or how he was a couple of years ago. But you still see those familiar names like a Tim Anderson, Jose Abreu. It's just in general, the health has played into it, and for a 500 baseball team, still a lot to play for down the stretch, and when you're only three games out, you're in decent position. But, yeah, I mean, expectations were the White Sox would run it back and be another factor in the postseason and maybe have that elongated run in the playoffs this year.
It also helps the division they're in because looking at every other division in baseball, I'm pretty sure they'd be – well, except the NL Central, which also has decided no one wants to win it. I mean, if they were in the AL East, and I know this is just random hypothetical, they'd be like 20 games back of the Yankees. So it doesn't hurt that they're behind the Twins and Guardians, who neither of those teams are necessarily blowing your socks off either. No pun intended on the White Sox.
That was solid.
Sox.
No, I agree with
you. It's the right division to be three back at the deadline, I guess is my point.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. The Central Division in both leagues, right, would be the division you want to be in. You look at the Cardinals and the fact that the Brewers haven't exactly run away with things. And I think the one thing that I will remember, especially if the Cardinals can go on to win
the division this season is that little stretch that happened about a week and a half ago when the Cardinals were playing the Phillies twice, the Braves once, and the Dodgers. And in all of that, I think they lost one game in the standings because the Cubs and the Pirates were beating up on the Milwaukee Brewers. I think each winning two or three in a series. And those are the little snippet of things that happened during a season that I remember when you look back. You know, it's always you also look at it negative on your own team, right? I can look back at when the Cardinals were up 5-0 on the Cubbies or whatever and lost that game. And there's little games, that Dodgers game, when you're up 6-0 and you fall in that game. So there's little snippets of that that remind you like how bad your team is when it comes to those tough losses. But I think for me, if the Cardinals can ultimately win this division, which I think it should be their goal, I think it'll be this little stretch there where I feel like the Brewers could have been 6 or 7 up at the All-Star break if they would have just done their job during that stretch when the Cardinals were playing, you know, the Phillies, who, let's be honest, the Phillies have kind of disappointed all season, but have caught fire since they fired their manager and won like 25 out of 35. So it's still, though, with that Phillies and the Braves and the
Brewers,
the Dodgers
are 3-9.
Yeah.
In their last 12, limping into the All-Star.
I mean, that's the storyline right now for me. I mean, as a Cardinals fan, that you could be 6-7 games out, and luckily you're not because the Brewers all of a sudden fell flat.
That's great. That's great for the Cardinals. And yeah, to your point, you're looking at that stretch of late June all the way through that stand in Philly and then 4-game set with Atlanta. The Cardinals lost at one point 8 out of 10.
Wow.
And while the Brewers were playing, we went through the schedule at the time and we're saying, well, if the Cardinals don't go maybe 500 during this stretch or have some kind of respectable record, there's going to be a 5-game gap in the standings, maybe a 6-game gap. But because the Brewers, who I know have dealt with some injuries on the rotation with Woodruff and Peralta, that the Cardinals wouldn't necessarily be buried, but then have a significant gap to then try to chase them. The Cardinals then won 3 straight. Could have been 4 straight if they didn't blow a 6-0 lead at home against the Dodgers. And that was one of those that really took the wind out of your sails. But when you get a chance to play the Pirates, the Reds, and Cubs as much as you do,
right,
given the division, you're set up to win a number of games. Me personally, as a Cardinals fan, you want to see more wins against those teams that are 500 and better, those teams that you might see in the postseason. It's kind of that eye test thing.
Yeah, I agree.
That you look at. But yeah, you're, what, a half game out? And 6 games over 500. So on paper, just looking at that snapshot, there's not a ton to be upset about. But of course, we're going to look at it from winning the division and then being able to be in a position to make noise in the playoffs.
I would agree. And you know, everybody talks about injuries, and obviously that occurs. And it does seem like your individual team, the one you pull for, has more injuries than anybody. I mean, that's what it feels like, but certainly as a Cardinals fan, it really feels like that. But I also take into account the fact that you were able to play the Phillies every game this season without them having Bryce Harper. Now, if you don't tell me that that makes up for Harrison Bader, Yadi Molina being out of the offensive lineup for the Cardinals, then you're wrong, because I'd still take Harper's offensive value essentially over those two combined.
Yeah, the MVP in the NL last year.
Exactly. So, I mean, injuries occur, right? Injuries happen. Obviously, the Jack Flaherty injury is not something that is ideal, and he's not going to ultimately help you pretty much the entire season. Maybe he gets back in late August and has like a 2 or 3-game push for you down the stretch. I don't know. Maybe, if nothing else, he'd be rested for the playoffs, right, if you needed him. But do you trust
him? Maybe Flaherty will actually take his 3 rehab starts, not after 2, say, hey guys, I'm ready this time.
I'm good. Let's go. I'm ready to roll. And that's just so funny. But I don't know. And then you look at like the Cardinals with regards to being in a playoff chase. You know, there's those rumors going out there about Juan Soto. There's rumors everywhere about certain players.
Tampering.
But yeah.
Tampering
exactly.
All over the place.
That's exactly
last night.
Right. Yeah, Pujols.
It's only an NBA rule, but I'd like to find the Cardinals somehow anyways.
Pujols totally let Soto win by 1 home run, and they had a deal.
They were
it
hugging.
It seemed like people were letting Pujols win.
I think
Kyle
so.
Kyle Schwarber, what in the what? World was that?
Soto said he might cry if he faces Albert. I'm like, okay.
Oh, here we go.
This is rigged.
Then he probably should play for the Cardinals the next couple of years. I do want to ask Kevin Wheeler. If there's one question I want to ask Kevin is that legitimate? I mean, I know the Cardinals have what it takes to go get Juan Soto, but is that a legitimate thing that the Cardinals would want to do? Do you want to give away 2 or maybe 3 pieces of your future to get a guy for a couple of years? that's not a horrible investment. There's been times where I've seen teams give up two or three players to get a half a year of an investment off a player. I just don't see how the Cardinals in 3 years sign him to a $500 million contract.
They're not.
I'm not.
Let's
I mean,
cut to the chase.
Yeah,
here.
They're
That's
not
going to
do
gonna
that.
Happen.
Even with the idea that Goldie or Arenado's, you know, contract could be coming to an end by then, but you're not going to give, the Cardinals are not going to give some guy 15 years, $500 million, if that's even what it takes. But those are numbers I've seen. But the idea,
I know that we're saying that as a foregone conclusion, and I know that based on what we've seen out of the Cardinals, they haven't been the type of team to make those moves. Although when they were trying to trade for Stanton a handful of years ago, they were going to be in the mix for signing him to that mega contract or picking up the mega contract that he already had inked with the Marlins, I should say. Is that the right move? If we even say, all right, there's no way the Cardinals would do that, are they making a mistake by already putting themselves in that position if that's what's really happening?
Probably. Probably. And I think it's probably not wise on our part to understand that we think what John Mozeliak and the DeWitt family and the Gersh think, you know. But if you look at the track record, that's what it shows you. But I mean, let's don't forget they didn't shy away from getting Goldschmidt, knowing that they'd have to pay him $25 to $30 million. They didn't shy away from Arenado, knowing that they'd have to pay him $35 million. So I guess in that sense, maybe times have changed. And you look at the payroll now, it's under what it was last year by like $15-20 million.
I think they're at 160 this year.
Yeah.
And they were in the 180 range prior to that.
So obviously the Cardinals can get up to that 180. I mean, let's be honest, they could get to $200 million if they wanted to. So but I don't know. I mean, I think if you can add Juan Soto, and that's the hard part, right? That's what we all fight with regards to prospects. We hear all about Jordan Walker. We hear about Mason Winn. We hear about these kids. And you think to yourself, well, you know, man, I'd hate to get rid of Walker. What if he turns into this? Well, is he going to turn into Soto? And that's the thing.
Right.
I don't know. And if you know you've got Arenado, I mean, I don't know if there's a kind of a hidden wink-wink when Arenado's saying, all right, if you go get Soto, I'm playing my contract out in St. Louis. I'm good to go here. And Goldie obviously isn't going anywhere. But if you could add Soto to the prime of Arenado and Goldie and go for broke, and like we talked about with Jason Hayward, Trevor, and anybody on that Cubs team that won a World Series, if you end up getting the ultimate winning a World Series, it's all worth it. I don't care how bad the contract looks for the rest of the time. You just won a World Series. And those are not guaranteed either way, right? They're not guaranteed that you're going to get Soto and win one. And you're not guaranteed that if you have Soto locked in and you're really kind of hurting in terms of salary-wise that you're not going to win one too. I don't know. But the Cardinals have always done a pretty good job with their draft. They've always done a pretty good job of developing players. And I think, yes, taking on a payroll like Soto in 3 years would be something that you would probably give you pause and wonder. But if you can get him for what he makes now for the next 2 years, while you've got the chance with Nato and Goldie, I don't know why you don't do it.
Yeah, he's 23 years old. He's one of the best players in baseball. Was second in the MVP voting last year.
Seems like he's been around for 5 years. Maybe he has.
Exactly 5 years.
Is it really?
Yeah, and he came up in 2018. 18? Hit 22 bombs, batted nearly .300, was second in the Rookie of the Year voting in 2018. So
wow.
I mean, he's one of the premier players in baseball, and if you are only going to get him for 2.5 seasons and you aren't the team that's going to ink him to 13, 14, 15-year contract, to your point, if you gave up Jordan Walker and Carlson and Brendan Donovan and maybe insert a name or two more, if you win a World Series because your core of your lineup is Soto, Goldie, and Nato, it's worth it.
Can I ask you this? If you still had Zach Gallen and Sandy Alcantara, would you feel like the Cardinals could win a World Series?
If you had Sandy Alcantara, if you had more depth in that starting rotation, I think that's the big question, because if you're going to make the deal for Soto, you shouldn't look at it as a one-year thing because he has 2.5 years. But I know that in my mind, I'm even thinking the haul that it would take to get Soto, it's kind of frustrating in the back of my mind that even if you got him, did the Cardinals have the pitching to go do it this year?
That's a good point.
Right now, it doesn't look like that's the case. But you never know, because I think that even last year, if you looked at the Atlanta Braves, they didn't have some crazy pitching depth. That was a loaded lineup. They even had Acuna out. Now, Max Fried was at the top of it, but they were missing, was it Kyle Wright? One of their best young arms was unavailable. So that's kind of a way to look at it. You're just trying to position yourself in the best way possible to match what the Mets have. Yeah. I mean, the depth of the Mets lineup is incredible. Ugh. The Dodgers, and I think you could at least hope to outscore some teams in the postseason if you did have Soto along with the names that's we mentioned, point. With Gorman, with Edmund, and some of what the Cardinals already have.
Was Ozuna out last year too?
He was.
Was he in trouble, right?
Yes.
Was that that was the time? So, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those where it's like, I don't know. It's tough to figure out what you do. Do you get rid of all your talent or your up-and-comers? But you don't even know what they're going to be.
Does it help? I'll just ask you guys this. Does it help at all that your number one, not can't miss, but your number one prospect is one that is basically double blocked right now by
good point.
Nato, Goldie, / Gorman?
That's a great point.
Like, would you feel worse about giving him up if he were a left fielder right now?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Because they've already talked about how they're going to try to, they would have to basically make him, and you're talking about Jordan Walker, about making him a left or right fielder. Well,
like, what if he were a catching prospect that was that high?
That would hurt.
Would you feel twice as bad of sting of him leaving just because of the position he's playing?
Yes, I would. Or a pitcher.
How about this as well? I think another way to look at it is, while you're thrilled with Walker and Mason Wynn, like, the idea of, by the time they're ready to really make a huge impact, what's that look like for Goldie? Is Goldie gone? Is Nato still there? Is he outside of his prime? Jack Flaherty, I know that we're down on him in general, but even if he was on the path that we expected, we've all been skeptical. I know you in particular, mm-hmm. about him actually re-signing a big deal with St. Louis. And then you're starting to wonder, well, you could load up now with the window of prime that Nato and Goldie have, and then add Soto, who's got a long stretch here where he should be in his prime or even still trying to reach it, versus waiting on some of these other guys. But then I'm not going to say you're not going to have anything left, because Gorman we're excited about, and Carlson's still thought of as a long-term guy.
There's
that
no
should
doubt.
Have decent upside, maybe not as high as we originally thought. But that's one thing that I also chew on when you think about the decision whether or not to give up those assets for someone like Soto.
Mm-hmm.
It's reported that they would need major league return as well.
Okay.
So I wonder if it would take, I'm just throwing, you know, what's his name? Mason
Wynn.
I get the M and the W confused. I don't know if it's, okay. Anyways, him and Walker, you'd probably have to throw in a Carlson.
Yes.
To get that done, because I don't think they just want the prospect.
Yeah, with the idea. I mean, they want to know that they're getting something that they know is
like not producing. Not Edmund, but you'd have to throw in some type of major league starter level person.
I would agree.
And I would say Carlson. Yeah. But
and I assume there's a pitcher in there somewhere that they're probably going
to
want.
They want to offload Patrick Corbin.
Yeah, that's right.
Whose deal is just obscene, and he's been terrible. So it was also reported that they are looking at offers more attractively if they'll be allowed
to include
to
him.
Shed Patrick Corbin in the deal as well.
Mm, what does he make a year? Is it like, it must be,
I mean, the Nationals signed him as like a front free agent. Like,
where did he come from?
Arizona at first.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. I think that's right. Yeah. So yeah. Well, I mean, and then
6 years, $140 million on Patrick Corbin, and he's in year, what is this? Two, I think.
Ooh.
Three.
He's got this year and then two more years. So in 23, he'd make $24 million, and then 24, he'd make $35 million.
Oh, my goodness.
And he has been terrible. So
that might be too much of an ask on the national side.
He
has a negative 1.5 war. It's hard to have anything worse than a zero war. That means that the Nationals, who are the worst team in baseball, or one of them, would have two more wins if he simply was not on the roster.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, can they afford Soto? If we keep going with this 15-year, $500
million. They're offering it.
They are offering.
They offered the, 14 or 15 years for $440 million, and he turned them down.
Wow. And again, it's not my money, but it's the 14 years, the 15 years.
As someone who's also 24, just imagining getting a phone call offering me $440 million to do anything.
Nope.
And just saying, I'm good.
I checked with my consultants, Derek Piper and Lante, and they have advised me to not accept that deal. So and we'd be sitting there going, what? Yeah, I don't, it's, listen, this is why baseball's so fun. It's that idea of, do you take the chance on this or not?
It is fascinating because the Cardinals have the horses to get this done, and there's probably only four or five teams that do.
Mm-hmm. See, I've always, you guys know me, I've always been a guy that wanted to sign Pujols. I didn't care how much it took because I felt like you could still win another World Series with Albert Pujols. And if you would have won one more World Series with Pujols and then unfortunately paid him a lot of money to do not much for the next 8 to 9 years, isn't that what you're in the game for, to win World Series? I mean, that.
Yes.
So, I mean, I know it's not guaranteed that you sign Pujols. And in the end, it was the right thing to do, I'm guessing. But I
was, it definitely was.
Yeah, but I was one that always thought that, okay.
In hindsight, it was.
In year 12 or year 13, didn't you still have the kind of team that could win a World Series with Albert Pujols in the lineup? Yes.
They literally went to the World Series 2 years after he was gone.
Exactly. So I always thought to myself, would the burden of his contract and his ability to play for the last 8 years, which we know was not very good, I mean, a guy that was hitting like 330 his whole career, and now his career average is like 270. So you know what's happened here in the last however many years. But would that have been worth it if you could make a run or win another World Series? And my answer is yes. I mean, yes. That's
right.
What I'm here for.
And I'm not saying that Soto's going to be the same type of player that Albert was, because his first 8 or 9 years was historic.
Incredible.
In terms of putting it up against others in baseball history. But the difference here is when the Cardinals were trying to make the decision on whether to give Pujols a huge contract, he was 32 years old. 31, turning
Fair.
32 years old. Soto right now is 23, will be 26.
Wow.
When he's then going to make that decision. And if you go back and see Pujols, you know, 25 through 29,
Woo.
Won three MVPs, was second in another year as far as MVP, and was leading the league in OPS for a handful of those years, and had just some ridiculous seasons. So I know that also when we were considering we brought it up. I'm not saying it was actually news out there. Mike Trout, would you trade for Mike Trout? There were parallels of Trout, similar to Pujols, has had this crazy 9-year run.
Good call.
So a little bit older, would you then make the move, take the different path this way, where you try to trade him and ink him to that big deal, and then ride it out and hope it works out the inverse way as far as Pujols, because the Angels got nowhere close to what they thought they were getting.
You have absolutely swayed me to not that I was either way. I was right down the middle on this of not. Like if I woke up tomorrow to the news, like with three texts going, holy crap, we got Soto, I'd be like, really? And I'd get all giddy and excited about it. And then I'd start to wonder like, oh God.
And then you'd remember his batting stance. And
yeah.
Throw the phone across
the room.
I
totally would.
See,
I mean, he's
I'm glad
not
you
a
brought
Cardinal.
That up. Because there are people out there that are saying,
know.
You know, he doesn't fit the Cardinal
the
way.
Cardinals
the Cardinals
way.
Have always been by the unofficial book.
I agree.
That then all the other fans in baseball roll their eyes and everything. Like, is he too flashy?
Then I'll bring up Joaquin Andujar back in the day. I mean, he was just the same way. He
Do
was
you know how happy
exactly the same
it
way.
Would make me if the Cardinals way trademark turned away like the best talent in baseball just because they didn't think he fit their way. I'd be just so overjoyed for years.
And you know, the argument with those people is that we've won a lot of World Series doing it that way. And that's the hard part. That's the hard part to argue with them, because they're going to be like, well, but we did it the right way.
How many playoff series have you won in the last 7 years?
It's fair.
Who needs Mike Schilt?
One.
Exactly.
Who needs Juan Soto?
I have no time for anyone that says, well, he's different than,
he does that.
You know, the stare down of the pitcher and the bat
thing,
flips
but...
and he's a little chatty and he's got too much swag. Get out of here.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
If you can get Juan Soto.
I don't like the belt, the championship belt that Rodgers does. And I don't like the sabbaticals that he goes on with his girlfriend, Reed.
The witch.
Does whatever he does.
You take him on the Bears.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Plus,
none of that matters.
I'm not trying to be uncomfortable. There's a little bit of coded weirdness to that, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, get that swaggy young Dominican guy out of here. Like, okay.
I don't know. I don't know where you're going.
Just saying, like, some of those people that tweet, like, I don't like his flash.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, what do you mean by flash? Expand on that for me.
Well, but it's pretty obvious what he does
I know.
You know, it's not like there's one obvious thing that he does, and it's ticked off numerous pitchers,
yep.
Right? So
I'm just saying there's a group of old white guys who hate Javier Baez and Juan Soto and Ronald Acuna. And
well, I'm glad I'm not in that group.
I'm not casting that dispersion upon
that's
you.
That's good.
See, thing with Baez is swinging at three sliders that don't even reach the plate in a row. That's the problem with Baez. It's not when he actually hits one 450 feet,
right.
He's going to stand there for an extra couple of seconds.
Right. Tell me when his strikeout total has come down to a normal version of a strikeout total, and then I'll tell you that I want Javi Baez on my team.
But I know, to Trevor's point, some people are
absolutely.
That's not for me.
Yeah. Oh, listen, I hate it, but I'd be okay with it if it was on the Cardinals then. I'd be like, all right, well, at least he's now doing it for us, and I don't have to watch it against us. That's one of those. But you have swayed me to the idea of the Cardinals need to make a deal for Juan Soto. And by the way,
aggressive.
He won the home run derby last night. Of course, like you guys predicted.
If only someone had given out that it would be Juan Soto versus Julio Rodriguez in the final and Soto would win. I wonder which one of us said that.
I thought I was doing so smart by having Alonso beat Soto in the finals and then also pairing that with Soto beating Alonso in the finals. I'm like, I'm guaranteed to win money. And then Alonso doesn't make it. Mm. Oh, well. All right, we're late.
Must have been the meditation.
It had. Yeah, did you see that? What was that? That was weird, man. Did you hear, by the way, if the All-Star game, did I hear this right? If the All-Star game goes to extra innings, the manager has already selected three players on each side to go up and do a mini home run derby to determine the winner.
I am begging this game to go to extra innings.
That'd be cool, right? That'd be cool. Like, that would be, yeah, and then somebody out there would hate it.
As long as there's a better showing than last night. I mean, other than Julio Rodriguez, nobody put on a show until the finals. And I know we can talk about this more. We got to get to a break. But Juan Soto's pitcher was horrendous.
Oh,
I told you there'd be a pitcher we'd be talking about.
Horrendous. And he overcame it. I mean, he literally overcame it. I know.
Finally took the glasses off. He put it on top of his head, and then he started throwing it down the middle instead of outside corner to the other batter's box.
Was it Rod? Who beat Alonso?
It was Rodriguez.
Rodriguez. His pitching was like the best. That guy didn't do a full windup. He almost like shot putted the ball, and every time was in the same spot. I mean, that guy is if you want to learn how to be a home run derby pitcher, watch Rodriguez's pitching coach or whatever you call that guy that threw to him. I thought he was perfect. All right, we got to catch a break. 359-2255 if you want to weigh in. 217-359-2255. That's the U of I Lanning Lake text line. We're going to visit next with Ryan Lieber on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. Ask him about the Cubbies first half and what to look forward to, if anything, in the second half. Kevin Wheeler will also be on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line at 5:05. We'll pick his brain on the Cardinals, what happened there, and we'll go into this Juan Soto. I know Kevin will have an opinion on it, and I'm going to venture to guess it's exactly what you and I, or what we just talked about, that making a deal for Soto makes sense. And I think Kevin would agree with that. I'll be anxious to see if he does, but we'll certainly do that at 5:05. Again, 359-2255. You know how to get us on every other platform. We got to catch a break. Back with Ryan Lieber. It is The Drive.
Baseball's best rivalry returns to Busch Stadium for a midweek series August 2nd through the 4th. Catch the Cardinals and Cubs series with great seats remaining starting at just $10. Or enjoy the game like a VIP with an all-inclusive ticket in one of Busch Stadium's premier club areas. That's August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. The Cardinals and the Cubs at Busch Stadium. Get your tickets today at cardinals.com.
I'm Damonte Williams. When it comes to hustling on the court, that's easy. You know what else is easy? OSF On-Call Urgent Care.
That's right, Damonte. When you need care for minor illnesses and injuries that's easy to get when and where you need it, OSF On-Call Urgent Care is your MVP. Walk in 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, even holidays. Or connect with a virtual visit 24/7, 365 days a year. Visit osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
PDR Automotive in Urbana has been providing quality auto repair service for almost 50 years. Trusted by AAA Motor Club, PDR employs ASC-certified technicians that use the latest in diagnostic equipment. They offer nationwide warranties and are even authorized to perform vehicle maintenance that won't void your factory warranty. Check them out 24/7 online at pdrauto.com. When you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Hey, this is Tim Sinclair, public address voice of Fighting Illini basketball. You're used to hearing me talk about my favorite team during the games, but now I'll also be talking about my favorite fan store before the games. I've teamed up with Game Day Spirit to get you ready for the season. Just head to one of Game Day's two locations, at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, or at 6th and Green in Campustown. Or check out GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, official fan store of the Fighting Illini.
If you're looking for a wedding or special event venue, consider Homegrown, a farm-to-table restaurant brand new at the Atkins Golf Club that has plenty of terrific space for that special day with incredible photo opportunities on and around the golf course. They can take care of plenty of your wedding guests or guests for your special event. Go to eatathomegrown.com to get more information about a space that has current availabilities. It's eatathomegrown.com at the Atkins Golf Club at the University of Illinois.
I'm Kofi Coburn. When it comes to facing my opponents on the basketball court, that's easy. You know what else is easy? OSF On-Call Urgent Care.
That's right, Kofi. When you need care for minor illnesses and injuries that's easy to get when and where you need it, OSF On-Call Urgent Care is your MVP. Walk in 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, even holidays, or connect with a virtual visit 24/7, 365 days a year. Visit osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
This is Gina from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. If you're looking for a top-of-the-line air conditioner, think Amana. We carry all sizes and offer expert installation. ABC Heating and Air Conditioning is locally owned, and we've been in business for 50 years, and for 50 years, the only brand we've sold is Amana. So go with a company that is local, dependable, and will be there for you no matter what time of day or night. ABC, always be comfortable. Let us install your new Amana air conditioner. Visit www.abcheatingandac.com.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lonte and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Well, it's not every day that you come in and join a conversation that just featured trade talk on Juan Soto, and then you've got to hit the ground running at 70 miles an hour. But that's what we're asking Ryan Liebert to do right now as we talk a little Cubbies. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, anytime Ryan Liebert and Juan Soto are in the same sentence, that's not good. That's not good. That's a disaster is what that is.
Would the Cubs have, Ryan, that is a inside joke. I'm sorry. Whenever a train goes by, we have Derek give the boiler up. Listen, would the Cubs have 20 guys they could trade for Juan Soto right now?
Oh my God.
I mean, honestly, they do.
they have 20 guys. The question, of course, is would the Nationals take any of them, right? Listen, I would do whatever the Nationals asked of me, even if it meant they give the Nationals part ownership of Wrigley Field and the organization to just bring in a larger fusion of money for that team in Washington, D.C., if it would help the Cubs get and land Juan Soto. You know, the Cubs, and I know we'll get into this probably a little more into this interview, but obviously we could both all agree, or all three of us could agree, that the Cubs need something to spark this fan base and this franchise. And there is no doubt in my mind that if you bring in the future of Major League Baseball in Juan Soto and you put him in a Cubs uniform for the next 15 years, every fan that is a diehard Chicago Cubs fan will easily get behind that.
No doubt.
And will just bring their loyalty back to, Waveland and then some, just knowing that could be a possibility.
Well, and that's the problem is that, I mean, even if we joke about it, I just don't think the Cubs would have what it would take in terms of prospects, I don't believe, to make that happen for Juan Soto. So I'll ask you, Ryan, The second half of the season, what would be one thing that you could give me to look forward to if I were a Cubs fan? What would be one thing that you point to and say, okay, I know that the Cubs aren't winning. I know it's going to be probably another kind of a horrible second half of the season to end the season as they continue to try to, I guess, rebuild here and retool. But is there one thing in your mind, all right, Lon, here's what you could look forward to if you were a Cubs fan?
You're really making me dig deep on this one, aren't you, Lon?
You just answered it right there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, listen, I think the only thing I can really point to is, are we going to really be able to see some of these guys that they've been touting in the minor leagues come up and we can try to see what they have, right?
Right.
I mean, that's really what we're hoping for at this point. I want to see these guys in the minors that they have pushed so far to, you know, try to create a little bit of buzz that, hey, here's our future. Well, then let's see that future and let's see how they look right now in the second half of the season, because we all know they're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. We all know that this season is basically a wash. And so at this point, I would just say, bring up some of these young guys. Let's see what they've got. Let's see what we can work with. And then shoot for 2023 when maybe we can begin the process of building another contending team, whenever, as you said, that may or may not be.
Right.
Ryan, how patient do you think Cubs fans will be? Because you're coming off a stretch where they weren't good last year and they sold off at the trade deadline and gave up everybody except for Contreras, of course. And now we've talked about where Baez, you weren't going to be on the hook for his contract, Rizzo, Bryant, and they didn't seem to go out and reallocate that money, at least entirely. So how much do they need to be buyers going forward in 23? And what do they have to do to maybe, I mean, we joked about Soto move with real Cubs fans back in, but maybe realistically,
mm-hmm.
how they view this as far as, okay, we may stink the rest of this year and next year, and then we'll be competitive. I'm just curious on what that thought process is for the Cubs to, like, reasonably, all right, this is what it should look like.
Yeah, I mean, if they're not buyers this next offseason, then I think you're going to see an extremely, not just apathetic, but upset. And they're already upset, but I think it's even going to be, like, times 100 if this team is not a major player for an Aaron Judge or insert big name free agent here. I mean, that is what it takes. There is no reason with the money that the Ricketts are now going to be giving Jed Hoyer and money that he apparently has left over from this season that he did not use to sign any other major free agents other than, you know, Marcus Stroman. There should be absolutely no reason why you do not hear the Cubs meeting with some of the biggest names in baseball this offseason, because if they don't land some of these guys and they're not major players, there is going to be a shift. And speaking as a Cubs fan, as somebody who has obviously been devoted to this franchise my entire life, I've become apathetic to this team. How can you
right.
not be?
Right.
When you see, and Lon, I know we talked about this the last time I was
yep.
on, when you can see what this franchise has been able to reach and yet not able to maintain it, and you see your division rival in the St. Louis Cardinals be able to continue that no matter what and no matter who is on that roster, that is starting to play a major role in how people perceive this franchise. It's not cute anymore. It's not fun anymore to be the lovable losers. This team needs to be able to put out a competitive product and a winning team. And if they don't do that in the next couple of years, there is going to be a seismic shift in how this organization is looked at and how I think people view this franchise from a distance.
Ryan, how do you feel like Wilson Contreras is handling the current situation, and has the depths of the Cubs have hit through the first half of this season changed maybe how the Cubs might approach it, or do you think he would still be the cornerstone piece that no matter what, as far as the wholesale changes, he won't be part of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to say on that one. I'm personally not in the camp of saying you got to lock up Contreras long-term, right? He's a 30-year-old catcher. You know, he's kind of, you know, going to be coming down in the downslope of his career. Don't get me wrong. He's a great leader. He's clearly that one piece left from that 2016 team. I'm not even going to count Jason Hayward at this point, that you look at and say that he's a cornerstone. But here's my opinion. If you're going to be a bad baseball team, why are you keeping this guy who again, yes, he's somebody that is a veteran presence, but ultimately is not going to change the trajectory of your franchise moving forward. So I don't have a problem with the Cubs cutting ties with Contreras and trading him for more young talent, because if you're going to just keep a guy for the sake of that continuity of having him behind the plate, but yet you're going to be a bad baseball team, I would rather you bring in players that you think ultimately are going to be guys you build around, and then bring in that really major piece of a guy who's going to be a difference maker, like a Juan Soto, like an Aaron Judge, who can change your franchise completely. Wilson Contreras, yes, he's an all-star, but he's not a guy that you can look at overall, at least in my opinion, that ultimately is going to be a person that can lead your team offensively and defensively and change the trajectory of your franchise.
And you feel like at such, you know, a position of being a catcher, you feel like a team out there that feels like they can, I mean, the Cardinals are the perfect example, but they're not obviously yes. going to go get Wilson Contreras, nor would the Cubs probably give or make that deal. But you almost feel like it with the fact that it's a catcher, that there would be a team out there that would give you probably more than you should get. And I think you should get a lot. I think a team would give you more than they should for Contreras, because the guy gets on base. I mean, he hits leadoff or two in the order. You can bat him anywhere. He's a stud catcher. I just think somebody will give up more than they should for Contreras. And I've said all along, don't ever do it. Just keep him in the mix in Chicago. And in 2 years, if the Cubs have figured it out and the payroll's better and they've got some free agents coming in that are doing damage and they've got young kids coming up, then I think you'd still be happy to have Contreras. But I get where you're coming from there, and I do think you could get a pretty good haul for him.
Yeah, and you're 100% right on everything you're saying. I guess where I would make the pushback on that one is you look at it, and you made a great point when you talked about Molina and the Cardinals, because in a guy like Molina, the consistency of that franchise and that organization is always there, whether it's with Molina, whether it's with Adam Wainwright, whether it was with Chris Carpenter, whoever it was in that rotation that you had that kind of handed that piece off. Plus, you knew that each and every year you were going to be contending for a potential postseason bid or getting to the World Series.
Right.
So you want a guy like Molina behind the plate for the last 20 years or so, because you want to be in those positions to be in the postseason. If the Cubs aren't going to be sniffing that necessarily in the next year or two or
good
three.
Point. Good point.
I just don't know if Contreras is really the right fit at this point. But if we're talking about a Cubs team that year in and year out is going to be contending to win the division, then 100% I do everything in my power to keep a guy like him in the lineup.
Well said. Ryan Lieber, my last question deals with some of those kids that you maybe want to see coming up in this second half of the season, or even by next year, or at least, you know, what are we looking at in the future? Who are some of those names? I don't know if you've studied your minor league, stats here in the last week or so, but who are some of those names that Cub fans could look forward to?
Yeah, well, I think the big one that a lot of people are excited about is Pete Crow Armstrong, who, you know, the Cubs, I feel like, has a lot of upside for this organization. And I think he's somebody that I think a lot of Cub fans are looking forward to as well. And, you know, listen, the Cubs got some nice picks in the draft over the weekend and, you know, heading into, the future. I mean, they've got some guys that they really are high on, and I think that could, you know, help. I think pitching was a big focus for this team going into the draft this year, and they accomplished that. But, you know, everybody looks great on paper and when you pick them, but at the end of the day, what are they ultimately going to become? I think the fun pick over the weekend for Milan, and I think we can both agree on this, is how cool would it be if Mason McGuire ends up, playing pretty well for the Cubs one day. And obviously his dad, of course, we all know, you know, who his father is, all those years, you know, playing in St. Louis. There is some irony in that as well. And if I remember correctly, Mason is his son, the one who was with him during the 98 home run stretch? Is this the same kid, right? Who used to be the bat boy?
I was trying to think of that as well, but it seems like I didn't do the math in my head. So if that kid would have been, what did he look like, 7 years old back
then?
Yeah,
you're right.
In 98?
So a different kid.
Yeah, I think it would be different. I think it would be because I think I've seen an interview with him, and he seems to be older, you know, like, and not that Mason obviously couldn't be, but yeah, I mean, coming out of high school then, yeah, it's got to be. Was he out of high school or out of college?
Mason. I think he's out of high school.
So I think that would have to be a different one. But it would be cool, man, to see a McGuire just hitting bombs at Wrigley. I mean, that'd be awesome.
I think it would be. Yes, it absolutely would be. I will say, though, he's actually a pitcher. He's not a hitter.
Oh,
so,
that's my fault. Okay, my fault.
Yes.
I just assumed
he was a hitter. But it's still, to your point, it would be kind of cool if the price is right. You know, he does have a scholarship offer, apparently, from the University of Oklahoma. But if there's an opportunity for the Cubs to sign him, it would be kind of neat McGuire in the Cubs system. And that would be kind of a cool little story. And side B, seeing Mark McGuire become a Cubs fan. How about that? You don't want to think about that.
No, I don't.
Well, right. At least Cubs fans know in the back of their minds that in terms of looking forward to things, football season's not far away, and the Bears are really going to pick up everybody's spirits in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Wait, are you trying to make me feel worse?
No, I'm a Bears fan as well, so we're just going to be sad together.
Can I make you both happy? Can I make you both happy? NASCAR will drive through Chicago in 23 with the first ever street race. So there you go.
Something we can all look forward to. There you go.
Lake Michigan and Grant Park, baby. It'll be zipping by on a road course, man. I think that will be cool. I'm not going to lie to you on that. Ryan Lieber, it is always great to catch up, my friend. When is the podcast coming back? Do we know?
We are still working out dates on that, Lon.
Okay.
But we are eventually going to figure this out. Chad Gordon, my partner, and I, we're going to figure this out. And hopefully it'll be sooner than when we put together our Southern Illinois University reunion,
which I know
you were going to be a part of at some point. We're going to make that happen.
Yes, that was – yes, let's do, please, because that would be so fun. I know that most people don't understand, but Chad and Ryan are both very successful young men at other avenues of business, so it's not just every day they're just sitting around going, hey, we should do a podcast. So it's a lot of work, and we always appreciate – listening to it. It's the friendly confines. You can still go catch what they've done up to speed. And I would think for a Cubs fan to go back during the World Series run, that would be really fun to listen to that season of you guys doing that podcast. So again, it's called the Friendly Confines Podcast. Ryan Lieber, go ahead, buddy.
I was just going to say we were much happier back then. So it's better that you listen to those episodes where our attitudes are at a much better note than they would be right now. I can assure you that.
Love it. Well, listen, my friend, we will catch up again soon. We always appreciate your information, Ryan. Thanks, buddy.
Always love hanging out with you guys. Thanks again.
All right. That is Ryan Lieber. I totally thought the McGuire kid would have been a hitter. That's my fault. I didn't do my homework on that. Was Mark McGuire a pitcher? When he was younger, I could be completely wrong here. But I was thinking in college.
Sounds right, but I'd have to look it up.
I was thinking in college that they were maybe thinking of either making him either a hitter or a pitcher. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody different. Babe Ruth. No, I'm kidding. I'm almost positive McGuire was.
Mark McGuire was drafted in the 8th round out of high school by the Expos as a first baseman and right-handed pitcher.
There you go.
Now, this guy's drafted in the 8th round out of high school, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Pretty wild.
So I think he still could be hitting bombs at Wrigley Field.
How much do you think how much frustration do you think there's a guy out there who's got the exact same profile and stats as some of these sons of players?
Oh, I know.
And he got picked in the 27th round yesterday, and he's like, what the hell, man? Because as much as they're not going to admit it, there's no way that Mason McGuire goes 8th round to the Cubs if he's not Mark McGuire's son.
I'm with you.
He'd go
if
he truly does have that level of talent, but he would not go, top 10 rounds.
The boys and I just happened to be texting back and forth about the top two picks with Holiday and Jones. And I'm like, do you feel as though a Tay will ever be selected in the MLB draft? And they're like, no. I'm like, sorry, I didn't give you much of a maybe later on if you want to start a radio show or a radio career, maybe.
I don't know, man. There's like 56 rounds. And
I know.
I mean, I'm not trying to slight Andrew, but you don't think he could fall to the 54th in there somewhere?
Maybe. I think that should be his goal. 54th round to the St. Louis Cardinals, Andrew Tay. Listen, that'd be the happiest day of my life. I really think
no pressure, Andrew.
Yeah, no pressure at all. Just the 54th.
Three big years coming up. STM.
Right. You may want to make hay the next two before your senior year and then really make them take notice for that 54th round. All right, let's take a break. Kevin Wheeler talking Cardinals. When we return, it is The Drive.